But I've been, how many of you remember the things, some of the things that Apostle Mike taught us? Well, I've been pondering it, so to speak. And what I was thinking about mostly, and by the way, I didn't forget to welcome those online. Taryn, to give a good morning to those joining us online. But I've been thinking about it, and I've been mulling over the truth that some people are going to go to hell forever. No possibility of parole, so to speak. And as I was thinking about it, I started realizing we have to do more to draw in people. Folks, every day, people are stepping into eternity. And when you say that, you know, maybe, well, you know, people die, people are born, people die, it happens. But listen to this, because I started to think about how many. According to this website I looked at on World Statistics, this is the world's death rate. You ready for this? 170,790 per day. That's 7,116 per hour, 119 per minute, and 1.98 per second. Every second, two people step over into eternity. Just like that. What type of state are they going to be in when they step over into it? I don't know. But as I think about it, our mission becomes much more important. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Because I don't know how many of them are going to spend eternity in heaven. I don't know. I don't know how many aren't going to make it. But I know I've been called and I'm anointed to make sure that many of them don't go to hell, but can snatch them out of the jaws of hell into over into eternity. And I don't care who the person is, unless they're just completely, completely depraved. Nobody wants to spend eternity in hell. Some may have accepted that they, because of the life they live, that's their only option, but that's where we come in, to say no. As long as there's breath in your body, you have an option. I kept wondering, or I keep thinking about, of that over 170,000 that die each day, how many of them crossed my path? Or did any of them cross my path? What did they see when they encountered a church folks? Are they seeing something that's going to make them come in? Or are they seeing something that's going to push them away? We need to think about that. Go to John 3:16, please. And I'm going to share this in the Passion Translation. For this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique Son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its Savior and rescue it. That's why you always hear me saying, don't pray for one side without praying for the other. We can't take a side. Well, we do need to take a side, but it needs to be God's side. So I believe God is creating a sense of urgency in us because we have to be effective, because we're talking about 170,000 people a day stepping over into eternity. Our job is to let them develop a relationship with Jesus, so when they step over in eternity, they come on the other side with our Lord. That's what we want. And everything we do should be centered around that. We need to be mindful of that in our walk, our everyday walk, our conversations, even our thoughts. We need to be mindful of that. See, circumstances will come to get our thoughts on ourselves. It's just like I always share concerning the Apostle Paul with his thorn. While he was concerned about the thorn, he wasn't doing anything to build up the people, because he had this thing that was nagging him. And God told him, "My grace is sufficient." Some translations say it's all you need. It'll allow you to bear up and do what you're called to do manfully. But look at John 31. If you will, I'm going to share this in the King James Version. John 12, verse 31-32. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Say, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. What do you think? What's the main thrust of that scripture? How many say lifting up? How many say drawing? How many say, I'm not going to raise my hand because I don't want to be right or wrong? Jesus wants the people drawn to him. So when we lift him up and the world sees that it is him above being raised above all the stuff that we call this world, that will draw them in. Nobody wants to get stuck in stuff. Nobody. I haven't met a person yet that says, I just love having this muck and mire and stuff all over me. No, they're looking to get away from it, to get out of it. And they don't know how, so they embrace where they are, because at least they'll have fun. That's why people party the way they do and take illicit drugs and all that other stuff, because even though it's temporary, they forget. They forget. They want to be whole. They want to be healed. They want to be healthy. They want to have joy. We have joy in our soul. They don't. But they want to have joy in their soul. But they need to see a people walking around exhibiting that kind of joy. I looked up the word lift, and I looked up draw. Draw fascinated me. Because according to Merriam-Webster, one of the definitions for draw is to pull. To move continuously towards or after a force applied in advance. To move something over to one side. To pull up or out of a receptacle or place where seated or carried. that we're pulling people out of that trash bin called sin into a new place called heaven. The cause to go in a certain direction as by leading to attract like honey draws flies. Honey doesn't have to do anything. It's just there. And flies recognize this is a good thing. And they're drawn to it. To provoke and to elicit. I really like elicit. That one struck a chord. Because that tells me people will respond to what they see me do. My behavior is going to elicit some sort of response from them. So what is it that I can do that will elicit them getting saved? That will elicit them coming to me and saying, what must I do to be saved? Just like what happened in the New Testament with the early church. They came and said, what must I do to be saved? We want that kind of draw. Because there are too many people leaving here that are not in Christ. So we need to have a strategy that'll pull the people to Christ, that will pull them out of sin and move them into a relationship with Christ. We need a strategy, folks. And Jesus gave it to us in John 12:32. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. Do we want men drawn to Christ? Then we have to come up with ways of lifting him up in our lives. Because if he's lifted up, they're not going to see me. They're going to see him operating through me, and they'll be drawn to what they see. That needs to be a priority. Look at Matthew 5. These aren't newly discovered scriptures. Verse 13, we'll start there, is in the Amplified Classic. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, its strength, its quality, how can its saltiness be restored? It is not good for anything any longer but to be thrown out and trodden underfoot of men. You are the light of the world. A city set upon a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a peck measure, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see. See what? Your moral excellence. In spite of everything that's going on, in spite of laws that are being passed and pressure by special interest groups and lies from political candidates, you let your light so shine that people can see that despite all those things, your moral excellence rises above it. And they look at it. Well, think about it. What attracts a child more, a balloon on the ground or a balloon floating up? As a matter of fact, they take the one, they see a balloon floating up, they take the ones on the ground and because they want them to go up also. Well, it's the same thing. We can't have a dormant word just sitting around doing nothing. That doesn't attract people. The people are attracted to seeing the word at work. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your moral excellence and your praiseworthy, noble, and good deeds, and recognize and honor and praise and glorify your Father who is in heaven. In the Message Bible, John 13, very familiar scripture, let me give you a new command. love one another in the same way I love you, you love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples. When they see the love you have for each other, when they see us loving each other, we're lifting up Jesus. They'll recognize that we're connected with Jesus, that we're one of his disciples. Why? Because we're loving the way they read that he loved. See, they not that necessarily that they haven't read the word. They haven't seen the word in action. And because they haven't seen it in the action, the word is just another story that they've read. We are the ones that put action to the word. We give it substance. How? By doing it. See, we have to give the word substance. We have to lift up Christ, as I said earlier, so that his presence, his ways, his truth rise above everything else. Because the world needs to know you cannot keep the word down. You cannot keep it bottled up, locked up. It doesn't dry up. You bring it to, you give it life by acting on it. It makes the word alive. How many of you know that there's corruption going on in the world? Do you actually believe people want the corruption? They're tired of it, but they don't know what to do about it. They don't know, so they accept it. They need to see a group of people that says, in Jesus' name, we're not having this. This is our world, our earth. We are the stewards. We're the watchmen. They need to see us living above the corruption. They need to see us living and thriving above the corruption. That's what we're called to do. We are the visible evidence of the good works that lift up Jesus. And because Jesus is lifted up, men get drawn, people get drawn to him. Now, it's not that they're being drawn to us. They're being drawn to what's working through us. And when they say, how are you able to do that? It's not me. It's the Christ in me. How do you get that? Mark 16, very familiar. Again, not giving anything deep. Jesus appeared before the 11 apostles as they were eating a meal. He corrected them for having such hard, unbelieving hearts because they did not believe those who saw him after his resurrection. Why do you think he did that? How is he going to give them the command to go in the world and preach the gospel to every creature and they don't believe that he was raised from the dead? How are you going to do that? So he had to take care of that first. Well, he took care of that with us. We know he's alive. We wouldn't be here if we didn't. We believe he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. We believe the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. We believe that. Then we should do the next part. As you go into all the world, preach openly the wonderful news of the gospel to the entire human race. Whoever believes the good news and is baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe the good news will be condemned. And these miracle signs will accompany those who believe. Why were the signs necessary? People need to see Jesus being lifted up so that the people will be drawn to him because of the miracles that they saw. You know, I'm watching the series, The Chosen. It's not a biography. It's not all biblically correct. But the principles are there. They're there. And the people were drawn to the miracles. They wanted to see this person that healed the sick, opened the blind eyes, raised Lazarus from the dead. They wanted to see that person. That hasn't changed. These miracle signs will accompany those who believe. They will drive out demons in the power of my name. They will speak in new tongues. Speak in tongues. They will be supernaturally protected from snakes and from drinking anything poisonous. And they will lay hands on the sick and heal them. After saying these things, Jesus was lifted up into heaven and sat down at the place of honor at the right hand of God. And the apostles went out announcing the good news everywhere as the Lord himself consistently worked with them, validating the message they preached with miraculous signs that accompanied him. They go out and minister in Jesus' name. Jesus makes sure it happens. People get delivered. And now they're drawn. They become followers. Why? Because he's demonstrated that his power supersedes anything else on this world, in this world. His power. That's why the signs are necessary. Now, there's a certain mindset that we need to develop if we're going to do these things, if we're going to let Jesus be lifted up in our lives so that all men are drawn to him. There has to be an absence of self. Our attitude can't be, oh, I'm too holy. No, you're not. If you think you're too holy, I'm going to tell you, you need to pray that pride right out of your system. Philippians 2. I'm going to read a few verses in here, starting with verse 1. So by whatever appeal to you there is in our natural, our mutual dwelling in Christ, by whatever strength and consoling and encouraging our relationship in him affords, by whatever persuasive incentive there is in love, by whatever participation in the Holy Spirit we share, by whatever depth of affection and compassionate sympathy, fill up and complete my joy by living in harmony and being of the same mind and one in purpose, having the same love, being in full accord and of one harmonious mind and intention. That just means we should be together, linked together. If they see me, they see you, because there's no difference in what we do. Do nothing from factional motives through contentiousness, strife, selfishness, or for unworthy ends, or prompted by conceit and empty arrogance. Instead, in the true spirit of humility, lowliness of mind, let each regard the other as better than and superior to himself, thinking more highly of one another than you do of yourselves. Let each of you esteem and look upon and be concerned for not merely his own interests, but also each for the interest of others. So don't you, I'm not just concerned about me. I'm concerned about you. Not, well, I got mine. Not if you didn't get yours. Because we are one. How can we reject each other? The world already knows how to reject people. They know how to cut you off. We're not cutters, we're drawers. We draw them in. If you want to cut them loose, cut them loose, help them get cut loose from that sin that so entangled them. Let this, verse 5, this should be underlined in everybody's Bible. Let the same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. So you want to lift Jesus up, we have to first start thinking like him. Let him be your example in humility, who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained. You could say he didn't lord it over, I'm the Son of God. Don't you realize that I'm the one who created you? And you're going to come at me like that? Do you realize I can just speak to the word and squash you like a bug? No, he didn't think of himself in that light. He stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity so as to assume the guise of a servant, a slave, in that he became like men and was born a human being. Now think about that in light of lifting up. In order to be lifted up from the earth, you have to go down into the earth. In order to be brought out, led out of the mire, you have to be in the mire. We get excited, anxious, go to pieces because we're in the midst of stuff. But we want to be delivered. If you're going to be delivered, that means you're going to be into some stuff. Something's going to trouble you for you to be delivered. You need to think about that. Why get upset? Thank you, devil. You gave me the opportunity to lift Jesus up in my life. You gave me the opportunity to demonstrate your defeat. So take one last look, because in the name of Jesus, you're leaving this place. You're leaving this body. You're leaving this child. You're leaving this loved one. You're leaving this neighborhood. You're leaving this job. You're leaving these schools, you're leaving its government. Whatever it is, you're out of here. And you're not standing there alone because your brothers and sisters, that's right, you're out of here. 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 You're out of here. You're out of here. And you're looking at the army of people across the globe saying, devils, you're out of here. And those that don't know Christ are like, what's going on here? Opportunity to witness. Don't know when you're leaving, but when you're leaving now, you're going into the right place. Show you how crazy the world can be. I was watching a program, and the guy on the program said, that's crazy as hell. I'm like, what? Hell yes. No, hell no. But they use the word so frivolously, having no idea what they're saying. How you can possess something good to hell? You do that when you don't know. Verse 8, and after he appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. In order to be raised from the dead, you got to die. Therefore, because he stooped so low, God has highly exalted him and has freely bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that in and at the name of Jesus every knee should, must bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue frankly and openly confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear ones, as you have always obeyed my suggestions, so now not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I am absent, work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal, and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling self-distrust, with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing, creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. So it's God who gives us the energy, the strength to lift Jesus up. Whatever we need to do that, he will give us. All we need to be is willing and ready, because we're certainly able. So stop thinking that you're not able anymore. You're not too young, you're not too old, you're not too thin, you're not too heavy. The only question, there's really only one question. Do you believe Jesus Christ is Lord? And since that's yes, you have within you the power and the ability and the drive to lift him up, so he can draw all men. 170,790 people step over into eternity every day. 170,790 every day. 7,116 every hour. 119 every minute. And rounded up, 2 per second. We've been in this room for about an hour, hour and a half. Over 10,000 people have stepped into eternity. How many of them knew Jesus? We don't know. And while we can't do anything about that, we can do things about the future. We can do something about the people we encounter from this day on. We can make sure that we're living right. Why is that important? They need to see our good works. They're not going to listen to us give a different story if they don't see a difference in what we're doing and they're doing. They need to see the difference. If they have a bad marriage, they don't need to see husbands and wives at each other's throats. They already have that. They want better than that. So what will lifting up Jesus do for my marriage? That's what they want to know. What is lifting up Jesus going to do for me to help me raise our children? They want to know. How are they going to know? By seeing the results of our church children. Our children whose parents are born again, spirit-filled. They need to see that the results are different. They're higher. The children don't get bullied. They don't get bullied. They're successful students. You can think about that. If I'm going to be drawn, it has to be something different and better than what I already have. Otherwise, what's the reason to change? You don't dial down, you dial up. You don't want something worse, you want something better. we can't do anything about people stepping over into eternity, but we can do something about how they step over. All we have to do is lift Jesus up, let him draw all men unto him, and you just ask him a question. Do you believe Jesus Christ is God's son? You believe that? Good. Didn't say that. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross for the sins of mankind. That included me. I believe he was buried and went to hell in my place. And I also believe that on the third day, he was raised from the dead. So Jesus, I ask you, come into my life, into my heart. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I want the life that you bring. Thank you for saving me. That's all you have to do. And if there's anyone here and you just said that for the first time and meant it, you just got born again. So if you're in here, raise your hand so we can give you some free information packet. It wasn't a trick. It's not in my notes. But that's all you have to do. And why is that person there? Because they've heard something about you. If you didn't hear something about this place, I'd be in here by myself. I mean, it could be so bad even my wife doesn't come. But you're all here because you had an expectation based on things you've heard and seen. The world is no different. They have the same expectations from you that you have for me. Let's live this life loud. I keep saying we got to get a t-shirt that says love loud. Or Redeemer Love Christian Center, we love loud. Something about loud. But we need to wear our Christianity loudly so everybody knows. Forget the term closet Christian. Unless you say you're a closet Christian, you're a work Christian, you're in the supermarket Christian. And always be ready to be used by God. And we need to be getting the habit where we correct our expectations. When we encounter someone who you might tend to think is loud and obnoxious, it's like, thank you, Father. What do you want me to say to them? Because obviously this is an opportunity. I told you about the time I went to Walmart and this lady was cursing up a storm on the return line. I'm like, Lord, do something about her. And he said, yeah, I want you to pray for her. And I said, I don't do that. I don't pray for any women without my wife present. So it's like, now there. He said, Phyllis will be right there when you get to her. And she was. The woman had just received a diagnosis. And she left feeling comforted. Why? Because God had someone there. He had two people there that lifted him up. Ask God to put you in places where you can be a light to the people around. And then go when he tells you to go. Don't think about neighborhoods. Think about the people in those neighborhoods. Two former members, they went to Rhema. Then they went as missionaries to Africa. And they were told not to go into this particular town because it was the most corrupt town in that area. they went. And when you go there, don't go out at night, because there's a lot of crime and things going out there. They walk the streets at night praying in the Holy Ghost. Today, that's one of the most lucrative areas in Africa. And they're still there. Why? The people saw something different in them. They saw them lift up this person they were calling Jesus. And they watched them prosper in squalor. They said, wait a minute, we want that. And they came and they got converted and they changed their neighborhood. You don't want to move out of your neighborhood. You want to change your neighborhood. You're not going to tell God where he placed you is not good enough. You're there. You have a heart and a desire to go out on the mission field. What about your neighborhood? What about your hair salon? What about your nail place? What about the barbershop? What about the supermarket? People need to know who you are. Person at the bank heard someone, I've interacted with them for a while. He's relatively new. And he heard someone say, Pastor Greg. And he said, I knew it. I said, knew what? Knew you had to be a pastor. Why'd you know that? The way you are when you come in here. We always feel good when you leave. So I hope that doesn't mean that I'm a bad customer and you're just glad to get rid of me. They said, no, no. You just make everybody feel good. Another person said, yeah, and his wife is also. I said, yes, she is. They know who we are. And there's an expectation that we carry ourselves a certain way because of who we are. They expect to see Jesus lifted up. Say, Jesus said, when he's lifted up, he draws all men unto him. Jesus, I commit to lifting you up in every area of my life, every moment of my life. Did you mean that? Then don't say it. Do it. As the late great Clinton Utterbach wrote, that what you have seen, that what you have heard, that what you have said, go, read, go do. And I'll be with you. He'll stand by us. He'll go before us, says the Lord. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Thank you, Father, for this eye-opener to cause us to realize that there are people going into eternity every second. And we know all of them are not destined to spend eternity with you. We repent if we miss an opportunity with any of them, Lord. But from this moment on, we're going to keep Jesus lifted up so he can draw all men unto him, and we'll lead them into a relationship with Christ so they can spend eternity with you. With all us and all the saints in heaven. We thank you, Father, for the opportunities we'll have to lift up the name of Jesus to this dying world. And we thank you for the fruit that's going to come as the people are drawn to Christ being lifted up. In Jesus' name, amen. We came, we've heard, now we have to just go and do it. Just go and do it. You don't need a special anointing. You're already anointed. You don't need a special calling. You already called. You don't need any more strength. You've already been strengthened. You can't be affected by the response because His grace is sufficient. So we are truly without excuse. On that day, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, there isn't anything we'll be able to say to Him as to why we didn't go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We can't give a reason that He'll say, I understand that. I could see why that would be more important than you lifting up my son. Not going to happen. We know who we are. Now the world needs to know. I don't want to be the greatest thing that never happened. Lift Him up. Lift Him up. What is that? What is the lyrics, Minister Nisa, as He speaks from eternity? I'll draw all men unto me.